Let's go with the talk. Open up to Romans chapter 6. The title of the talk is Servants. We had a bit of a very short discussion about this on Friday night at the prayer meeting. So there was a slight request to do a little bit of talk on it. So let's talk about servants, which is important. Well, it's an aspect that's throughout the scriptures. So we'll start with Romans chapter 6, just to introduce it, and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And a little aspect there in verse 19, it says, for as ye have in the past yielded your members' servants to uncleanness, so now yield our members' servants to righteousness unto holiness. So before we received the Spirit, before we got baptized by full immersion, we yielded our members unto uncleanness, but now we are servants to righteousness and holiness. And think about this, like either way, human beings are servants. And really, I mean, the word servant's a pretty strong word in the scriptures. It almost means slave, a slave unto a slave master. And like Adam and Eve, they were given a choice. God formed them out of the dust, but he gave them a choice. He said, you can serve Satan or you can serve me. And they, of course, chose to serve Satan. And so as a result of that first man, we are born into sin. We're born as servants unto sin, as unto Satan, and that's what the world is. But always in the background is God in the background, wanting people to serve him. And it is that elephant in the room, something that people just keep ignoring, but God is there wanting people to serve him. And if you serve God, as it says here, then you are actually free. And a lot of people don't realize that. Of course, without the Spirit, they think they're free, they can just do whatever they want, but they are actually in bondage to sin. But now, with the Spirit, we are serving God. We're slaves to God, really, but we're actually free. He is a good slave master. And it's kind of a funny thing, but it says in 1 Corinthians 7, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. And so that price, of course, was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So God bought us, you know, like they do used to trade in slaves. God bought us through the sacrifice of his son. So we're his servant. And he says there in Corinthians, be not ye servants of men. So either way, we have that choice whether we want to serve Satan or God, but either way, we are servants. But when we serve God, we are actually free. We're free from sin and death. Matthew chapter 24. We've got a few scriptures, a bit of page turning. Matthew chapter 24. And I'm hoping you'll all understand it's a very good thing to be the servant of God. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." So I like that aspect. You know, Jesus has come out, has said in other parables that he is like the ruler of a household going on a long journey. So he came on earth for a while to introduce the New Testament to be sacrificed, but he's gone on a long journey and he will come back. And this is a nice aspect here. It says, "Blessed is that servant when the Lord of the household comes back and sees them faithfully doing, keeping the house in order." And that is always our aim, is to keep this house in order, because we want it to be attractive to God to bring others here. And that's what we always strive for, walking in spirit and truth, preaching the truth so that God can see, yeah, this is a clean house where I'm confident to bring new people here so that they will hear the truth. So blessed is that servant when the Lord of the household is gone, not looking, is elsewhere, and then he comes back and he sees us faithful. And it says there, to give them meat in due season, you know, give them food to feed the people that the Lord brings and fills with the Spirit. Matthew chapter 6. So I've read this passage out recently, but it's a very good one. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So there you go. You've got two masters, one's God and one's mammon. You can't serve them both. There's a choice there. Verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So it's a very encouraging passage there, that if we choose God to be our master, and we choose to serve God, it outlines here that he is obligated to provide for these things. And I often think how amazing it is. You know, we serve the Lord and he just fixes everything else up around. If we make that his priority, he, being this good slave master, that we are free when we serve him, because he knows what's best for us, he will provide those things. If we just worry about him, he'll worry about everything else for us. And there's so many people walking in spirit and truth who can testify of that. And the other thing, like, we all have to remember, you cannot love both. It's impossible to love God and mammon. We do have to go about, working and preparing food and getting clothes, but we have no love for pursuing that sort of rich. We have the love for God, the desire to serve God, and he will provide. John chapter 12 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. And so Rod brought out in his testimony there the aspect of farming, how you bury that wheat, that corn of wheat, and it grows and it bears more fruit. And so we, as Spirit-filled Christians, we give up our life for the Lord. You know, we serve the Lord, and so we bury that corn of wheat, that fleshly stuff, you know, that mammon, and then out of the ground comes a completely different body, a spiritual riches, and it's a great thing that bears much fruit. So we lay up our treasure in heaven, not here on earth, and there are great promises there if we serve the Lord. Says there, where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. So there you go. We serve the Lord, we serve Jesus, but God our Father will give us honour as well, which is a great promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So again, that aspect of husbandry that Rod was alluding to. Husbandry, and when you're farming, that's animal husbandry. And it's like we are God's husbandry. We're part of his flock. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we know that aspect of the fire. Like we refer to a fiery trial. You know, yeah, we often enter a fiery trial, and the dross is burnt away. And we can often look back that, oh, yeah, I saw the purpose of that, you know, that the wood, hay, stubble that might have been building up has been burnt away. And we, here on earth, we do all these works. We do the works of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And all of them will be proven by fire. And so the wood, hay, stubble, the things we pile up here on earth, the gold, silver, and precious stones are what we store in heavenly places, the spiritual stuff, the work for the Lord. And we know as well when the Lord comes back, the elements will melt with fervent heat. And so that's when all the things we store up here on earth, the wood, hay, stubble, will disappear. We'll lose it. But and as it says, they will suffer by loss, but we will be saved. You know, it's the true riches, the gold, silver, and precious stone that that will survive that fire. And also elsewhere, like keeping things into perspective, that the things we lay up here will be burnt in the last days, you know, and it says elsewhere that is but dung. You know, what we achieve here on earth is but dung. And so we can keep that perspective. And we do have to, while here on earth, we have to live in a house. We have to have work and all that sort of stuff, and maybe get tied up with a career, but still remember that is wood, hay, stubble, that it will be burnt. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, so our bosses here on earth, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So I was saying before, you know, that as we work here, we build up the wood, hay, stubble here on earth. But there's kind of an interesting aspect here. It's actually commanded of the Lord that when we serve our bosses down here on earth, we are to serve them as unto the Lord. So when we serve our masters here on earth as unto the Lord, we're actually building up heavenly riches, the gold, the silver, and the precious stone. So even though we do it in a way to earn a wage and to get a house and food and to live and a car and whatever here on earth, but if we serve them as unto the Lord, we're actually building up gold, silver, and precious stone in heaven. It's an interesting little aspect there that that the Lord's put in the scriptures. And if we do that, if we just humbly serve our masters here on earth as unto the Lord, he just provides. I've often testified, I'm just amazed, pinch ourselves, oh, what happened there? You know, all I did was just serve you and just do what you told me, and whoa, I got this amazing blessing. You know, the Lord in the background is dealing with the stuff that he doesn't want us to deal with. So if we continue to build up the riches in heaven, he'll deal with the other stuff. And that includes, you know, just serving our masters here on earth. Because it's his commandment. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Where is it? There we go. And verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So it was a bit of a segue there. You know, the Lord's commanded us. So we keep his commandments because we love him. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. So he hasn't abandoned us. So he's there as we got slug away here on earth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, because he goes on the long journey. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I'll love him and will manifest myself to him. So great promises there. He wants us to serve him, but as a result of that, he's just given this amazing thing. He's given us the Comforter. He's helping us out. We are one with Jesus and the Father. He is up there supporting us in God, supposedly, like figuratively, in God's ear saying, yeah, they're right in your eyes, Lord. They've got the Spirit. They've got the cloak of righteousness. And there's that love aspect of it. Like, we love him, we keep his commandments, but as we sing in the choruses, it's he loved us first. We love him because he loved us first. He came through love to die for us, and so as a consequence, we love him and we keep his commandments as a show of our love for him. And as a result of that, we get this amazing comfort, and we're part of this amazing thing. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I often laugh. I still don't know where all the books in the Bible are. 1 John chapter 5. At the beginning, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. It's an important aspect. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So we love everyone else who's begotten of the Father. We've been begatted of the Father, and so we love everyone else who's been begotten of him. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So as I said before, in a nasty kind of way, God is a slave master. Like, that's a very coarse way, but he's a good slave master. And it says here, if we follow his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, it's a simple salvation message. He asks us to walk in spirit and in truth, to serve him, but his commandments are not grievous. It's not impossible for us to serve the Lord and to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. He's laid it all out for us through his Son. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And that's, I think, it's a great strength of the Bunbury Revival Fellowship. You know, we have a care for everyone. We really do. And a love for everyone. We want to encourage everyone to carry on despite what's going on in their lives. And it's really touching. You know, I often, brag about how good the Bunbury Assembly is, you know, how we care for each other. But verse 10, and indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. So we go about the business quietly. We don't blazon abroad about how good we are, what wonderful things we're doing for the Lord. We just go about working for the Lord figuratively with the hands, the spiritual hands, you know, doing his work. And that we walk honestly as we're out and about, away from all the saints. When we're away from all them, we still continue to walk honestly, and so that we may have lack of nothing. Because as a result of the little efforts that we put in that aren't grievous, the Lord will bless us that we lack nothing. And again, great promises if we follow his commandments. It says in Luke 2, this is Jesus speaking, it says, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And he said that to his parents when he was 12, and he got left behind for about 3 days. And they were very angry, but "Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business?" And as Jesus must be about his Father's business, we must also be about our Father's business here on earth. John 9 says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." Now, I like that aspect. There are, while it is day, while you can do it, because there will be times that come up in our lives where you just can't do stuff for the Lord. It's just the way it is. And as it waxes and wanes, so when you can do it, then you go ahead and do it. But when there is a time when you can't do the work of the Lord, man, there's no condemnation. There really isn't. You've got a good excuse. "Sorry, Lord, I just can't. I can do only a little bit here and there, but I'll just do the best I can while it is day." Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So great promises is there as well, that he shall be blessed in his deed when he goes about the Lord's business. But it opens up with "whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." So through the Spirit now, New Testament age, it's that perfect law of liberty. We are servants unto God, which is actually a law of liberty. We are free from death and unrighteousness. It says in Corinthians 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." You know, we put the shoulder to the plough, the Lord gives us back. Like, he will not be a debtor, sorry, I'll get this right. God will be a debtor to no man. I couldn't actually find the scripture, so I think they must have made that up. But anyway, I'll bring out some other scriptures that lead to that. God will be a debtor to no man. So we do the work of the Lord, and he will provide. Like I said before, he's obligated. He has given us a choice whether to follow him or not. We decide to follow him. He then, through love and grace, which is so important, he will will give to us, and so that our labour is not in vain in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, because we love the Lord, because we love him, we do his commandments. And he is a God who's righteous, and he will not forget our work and labour of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So the word minister, of course, is to serve. You know, you minister unto, as Jesus ministered unto his disciples. But God is not unrighteous. He sees what we do. He sees the efforts we do here on earth, and he will bless. There's no doubt about it. So if we choose to follow him, if we choose to follow him, it's a conscious thought, he will bless us. Matthew 25. I'm slowly getting to the scripture we talked about on Friday night. Those there are wondering if I'm going to get there or not, but I am. Never fear. Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, i.e. the sheep, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So I like that aspect. The Lord calls his saints, the sheep, those that walked in spirit and in truth, those that overcame. And he says, Wow, you are great. You're a great group of people. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. But I like the aspect. They all responded and said, What? Hey, when did we do that? Like, all we did was just pottering along on earth, just following your commandments. Like, and so it just doesn't seem like we're doing much. And I'm sure all of us, every single one of us, we always feel like we want to do more. We always feel like we should be doing more for the Lord. And but what the Lord's saying here is, no, what you're doing now is great. You know, you're just serving me in the best fashion that you can. You're doing it as you can, you know. And as a consequence, enter the joy of the Lord. And we, in our humility, because we know our shortcomings, say, what, Lord? What we did there on earth, it seemed like nothing to us as mere human beings. But in the Lord's eyes, he has great appreciation for what we do. He knows our difficulties. Jesus himself came on earth, but also, I mean, the fact that God is God and God knows everything. So, but he has that appreciation. We think, oh, we want to do more. We really do. We always feel that way, and it doesn't seem like we do much. It seems like we fobble along and limp through here in life, but no, God says, nah, you did it to the least of my brethren, so therefore you did it to me. So everything you do here on earth for the Lord is counted worthy in his eyes. Luke chapter 17. This is the one. Luke 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 7. But which of you, having a servant ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? So what he's saying there is the master of a farm would have a slave out in the field ploughing and whatever, and then invite him in, would the master tell him to sit down to eat first? But no, that's not. Verse 8 says, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me. So what he's saying is, nah, even though that slave was out in the field all those hours, the master of the house still wants that person to come in and prepare food for him first. And then carry and to serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. So after that, then the servant will eat and drink. Verse 9, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. No, it's just what his job was. It's what he had to do. Verse 10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, because we follow the Lord's commandments, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, the word unprofitable servants, it comes up elsewhere. It is a servant who is unprofitable, who's a nuisance, who's a pain. But in this aspect, like we, as human beings in the flesh, before God, who's perfect, even before Jesus, you know, was in the flesh as well, but perfect, we see ourselves as unprofitable. We see ourselves, like I said before, limping around here on earth, trying to do the best we can and mucking up. And I used to say years ago that, you know, what's the purpose of life? You know, there's so many people, what's the purpose of life? They used to say, oh, it's just to build up as many regrets as possible. Because you do things and you fail, you muck up, whatever. So we see ourselves before the Lord as unprofitable servants. And we know our shortcomings. And we also know we didn't earn salvation. We know it's by grace that we're saved. It's by grace that we're part of the kingdom of God. We understand that. So that's what Jesus is saying here. Before God, we say, look, we're unprofitable servants. You know, how is it that I've earned this glory? How is it that I've earned this crown of righteousness? And as a part of that, God doesn't want us to be creative. He doesn't want us to think of new things. Oh, yeah, let's try this and try that. Oh, yeah, let's try a bit of falling over, shall we? Oh, yeah, oh, let's get rid of the Bible. We don't need that. We'll just create our own book. Or what about all these flash clothes and things? Yeah, little phylacteries. Yeah, thinking, being creative. He doesn't want that. He wants us to be simple servants. I mean, it's good for us to think that we are unprofitable servants for the Lord, you know? We try to do his work. He tried to follow his commandments as best we can. End of Revelation, you know, it says, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues. If any man shall take away, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. So God doesn't need us to be creative. He just needs us to follow his commandments, simply as a simple servant of the Lord. Romans chapter 4. Just a few scriptures to finish up. Romans chapter 4. So Pastor Tim used to mention that, you know, we just clumsily spread the seed. We just clumsily go about witnessing. And it's the Lord that gives the increase. You know, we just fumble along here on earth, and the Lord still blesses. So just a few scriptures here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. So it's something to remember as well. We don't work. We don't serve the Lord, you know, oh yeah, like I achieved grace. You know, I achieved salvation. No, it's not like that. We just serve the Lord because of what he did for us. But as it says there, he who works is reward. Like now we work for our boss here on earth and we get paid. We get remunerated or holidays, whatever remuneration it might be. And so that is the reward. But we are saved by grace, you know. And so we can't work here on earth to earn salvation. We have that amazingly bestowed upon us. And I mentioned last week that that's what the law did. It defined sin. It defined how far away people were from God. As a result of defining sin, it defines the extent of grace. So now we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're perfect in God's eyes. The Lord's outlined how far human beings are away from perfection. Now, miraculously, we're perfect. We don't work, we don't earn salvation. It's just grace. It's just amazing what the Lord has done for us. That is an important aspect as well. We don't work to earn salvation. We have it already given to us. We just serve the Lord as unprofitable servants. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for we live after For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So we are indeed God's servants. We do indeed serve the Lord. But the wonderful aspect of that, being filled with the Spirit, we are his family. He is our Father. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. So that's that other aspect. We are actually his children. The children of the living God. And it says there that if so be that we suffer with him. So here on earth, we still drag this body through life. We're kind of suffering for the Lord. We're trying to do our best, you know, serving the Lord, understanding that we'll always come short no matter what sort of work we do, understanding that we are saved by grace. But if we suffer here on earth with the Lord, overcoming, we will be raised up. We're part of this great family of the Lord. Last scripture, verse 1. And this is something I've read out a lot. Romans 8, verse 1. Something we've all got to be reminded of. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So we're now free. We serve the living God. We are free from the bondage of sin and death. So we serve him. And as a consequence, there is no condemnation. We do stuff. We regret things, but we forget about them. Okay, let it not drag us down. And that's why, as we walk on the Lord more, we realize the crippling effect of condemnation. It just holds you back. And that's what the Lord wants us to know. He doesn't want that condemnation to hold us back. He wants us to look forward and carry on doing the work of the Lord, serving him, doing his commandments, because we love him. Okay, thank you.